Today's blot is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Tzadik Tes. We're going to begin on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis at the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa, which is really a repetition of what we learned in the Mishnah. Amr Lahen V'Amr Loi. As we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, a group had been magdish an animal as a Karban Pesach, and then the animal got lost. And the Mishnah mentioned different scenarios of how the group was dealing with it. The third scenario we learned was Amr Lahen V'Amr Loi. If the members of the group told one member of the group, you go look for carbon, and at the same time, this member of the group that was sent out, told them that if I don't find a carbon and you bring a carbon, you have me in mind. So everybody should have each other in mind. They have him in mind and he has them in mind. So the halacha was, oichel menarishin. They eat from the first carbon that's offered. But if they don't know which one was the first, so we learned that they don't eat anything. The next case that we learned in the Mishnah, loy amrahen v'loy amru loy. If he didn't say anything to them, and they didn't say anything to him, ein achroin zelazeh, they're not responsible to each other. And we had learned in the Mishnah, the carbon that he brings is good for him, the carbon they bring is good for them, everybody eats their carbon. Says the Braisa, mekan amr chachamim, from here chachamim say, yofesh tikl chachamim. The best thing you could do is be quiet. Because if they wouldn't have said anything, in the case where they don't say anything to each other, everybody ends up eating a carbon Pesach. Kavachayim is certainly latipshim. Foolish people should certainly not speak. Shenemar avil machrish chacham yechashev. Pasuk in Mishlei. A foolish person, when he's quiet, is smart. When he speaks, you could see he's not that smart. But when he's quiet, you can really believe that he's smart. So the Tzlach asks, the Gemara is saying that being quiet in the cases that we discussed in our Mishnah is always the preferable situation. Ask the Tzlach, it's not necessarily true. He says, because let's say the one person who separated himself had told them, you bring for me, and they bring a carbon for him first, he'll have a carbon. But if he says nothing to them and doesn't want to be part of their group, and then ends up not bringing a carbon, he will not have had a carbon brought on his behalf. So isn't it better to speak? Answer the Tzlach, at times there may be advantages to speak. But even in that case that the Tzlach identifies, it's not the end of the world if he didn't speak. Because if he didn't say anything, what's going to happen? He'll bring Pesach Sheni. So he's not completely excluded from the carbon. In the case that our Gemara identifies, when they both said something to each other, the case that the Mishnah discussed is a great possibility that since we don't know which carbon was brought first and which carbon was brought second, they're going to be left with nothing. And that's why it's better not to say anything. The Sharm B'Tzion B'Alocha asks, what is the Gemara teaching us that we don't know from Pirkei Avos? It says in Pirkei Avos, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Kol Yomai Gidalti Ben Chachamim, I spent my life growing up between smart people. I didn't find anything better than being quiet. So what's our Gemara teaching us that we don't know from there? So the answer is that the Pirkei Avos says, that's talking about physical needs. For your physical needs, certainly being quiet is worthwhile. Here we're talking about your neshama. Here we're talking about mitzvahs. And even for mitzvahs, it's kedai to be quiet. I don't know. Could we also said the same tarot. It's only for guf. So we learned in the Mishnah the case of Shnaim Shus Arba Pescheyim. It was the last case of the Mishnah, where two individuals had their carbon, their animals mixed up. And we learned in the Mishnah, we'll explain it a little more soon, that what Rashi told us the case was that we have Reuven and Shimon having their animals mixed up. So what Reuven should do is have Levi join with him. And then Shimon should have Yehuda join with him. And afterwards, they start looking at the animals and they'll end up okay. So he said, why was that necessary? Because we can't leave the Karban Pesach left without an owner, even for a moment. Lema masnisan like Rabbi Yehuda. But perhaps our Mishnah can't follow Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, v'miyimad habayis miyish meseb, that people withdraw, melamed, shemismatim v'holchim, people may withdraw from being registered on the Karm Pesach, or v'vachi ech mnei chaburu kayim, the Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have at least one person from the original group remain with the carbon. And here, you may end up not having anybody left, because in the case of the Mishnah, Reuven draws Levi, Shimon draws Yehuda, and then they say in each animal, if this is my animal, then you're with me. If it's not my animal, then you're going to the other animal together with me. And what may end up at the end of the day is that Reuven and Levi are not on the animal that Reuven started with, and Shimon and Yehuda are not on the animal that Shimon began with. So the animal wasn't left without an owner, because they made sure to have Levi and Yehuda join with them before they made this condition. But it was left with, but at the end of the day, none of the original owners are there. And according to Yehuda, you have to have one of the original owners. And like the Dvar Shmuel says, when Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have one of the original owners, he's saying what Rabbi Yossi says, plus a step more. That means, let's say you'll have a carbon where a group or an individual, a group, registered. And then they all withdrew. And then they all come back. That's already disqualified also, because there was a period where it was ownerless, even though at the end you have the original group with the original owners. But you can't have the group, according to Yehuda, be left ownerless, the animal be left ownerless, nor be left with nobody from the original group. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi says the only problem is you shouldn't leave the animal ownerless. Omer, Rabbi Yochanan, so if our Mishnah, as we just explained, can end up where the animal doesn't end up having the same, any of the same original owners, it must be that our Mishnah isn't going to follow Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Filotem Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah can be Rabbi Yehuda. Kivin Dam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda taught us another din on Daf Tzadik Aleph. Ain't Shechtin as a Pesach al Yochid. We shouldn't shecht the Karm Pesach for one individual. So in the case of our Mishnah, where we started off with Reuven alone and Shimon alone, that was certainly only a temporary situation. Why was that only a temporary situation? Because Reuven is an individual. So when Reuven draws Levi and Shimon draws Yehuda, it's not like they're new people. They're not new, because they had to be there all along. And like the Achronim say, it's not dafk if they only drew one person. If they drew 10 people, all of those 10 new people are not considered new. They're all considered original owners. Because one person alone was never to be considered an original owner by himself. Mikara lemnuya achrina badekoi. It was always, this animal was always supposed to have another owner. Okay, so when we draw now Levi and Yehuda, they're not new people, they're considered people who are there from the beginning. Now Rav Ashi says, not only can our Mishnah follow Rabbi Yehuda, I'll prove to you, says Rav Ashi, that our Mishnah must follow Rabbi Yehuda. What was the last case of our Mishnah? The last case, not the last case, the second to the last case of the Mishnah was, became Chamish Chaburu Shel Chamisha Chamisha. We had five groups, like we identified. Each, we had five groups of A, B, C, D, E. Let's say those are the five groups. And in each one of those groups, there were five individuals. And now all the animals got mixed up. And what did the Mishnah say? That all, let's say, each group had five people. So group A had number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Group B had like that. So let's say all number ones should get together. And all number two should get together, and the Mishnah said they should start making this speech to each other. But the Mishnah was very careful, says the Gemara, in saying that the case is that each group had five people. What would be if each group, if four of the groups had five people, and the fifth group had only four people? So according to Rabbi Yossi, I'll say what Rabbi Ashi says outside, then we'll do it inside. What you could have done is, before we start making all of these speeches, so to speak, draw an outsider in, and then start. So it doesn't have to be five groups of five people. It could be, let's say, four groups of five, and one group of four. The reason the Mishnah, says the Gemara, had to speak that all the groups had the exact same people, because you need to have one of the original people. And you can't draw an outsider in, because you may be left with an animal that nobody who's in the original group is part of this carbon. But according to Rabbi Yossi, as long as the animal is not left ownerless, it doesn't bother me. The fact that the Mishnah only spoke about such a case is a proof that you have to have not only that the animal should not be left ownerless, but it also has to have one of the original owners. That will see the Gemara inside. Arav Ashim is Nisan Namedeika. The Tani said in the Mishnah, the Chayin Chamesh Chaburus, we have five groups, Shachamisha Chamisha. Each group had the same amount of people. Shachamisha in. But each group has the same five people. Ava Shachamisha V'Arba. Four of the groups have five people. And one has four people. Loi. Why would that not be a workable situation? Because in such a situation, you may be left with a situation that one animal has none of the original owners. Shmamina, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that not only must the animal never be left ownerless, you also always have to have one of the original owners. Before we finish, as we said when we started this part of the Masechta, truthfully, the Meiri says that we're finishing the Masechta today. Because the Meiri says that the first four parakim and the last parak is one Masechta. It was called Pesach Rishon, because that talks about all the halachas, about chametz and matzah, and soon we'll start Avei Pesachim, about the Seder, and that the fifth through ninth parakim is Masechta Pesach Sheni, which talks about the Karban Pesach. So as we finish this Masechta, the Mishnah, I saw a very important word. The Mishnah says, Chaburish Avet Pischai. That was the last Mishnah. So the Sfarim say, Chaburish Avet Pischai is a group that lost the Karban Pesach. Who's that group? It's us. We lost our Karban Pesach. We don't bring a Karban Pesach. V'omru lo Echad. We talk to the Echad. Who's the Echad? Hashem. It's the Echad. Hashem Echad. Sayu Bakesh. Do us, please Hashem, return, restore the Karban Pesach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, how will he restore the Karban Pesach if we make a Chabura? If we all join together and Achdus, that will be the way that the Karban Pesach can come back to Klal Yisrael. Haran Lach Misha Yatame V'Slikah Lach Masechta Sheni, Haran Lach Misha Yatame V'Slikah Lach Pesach Sheni, Haran Lach Misha Yatame V'Slikah Lach Pesach Sheni. Says the Mishnah, Erev Pesachim. The Mishnah begins, what the Halacha is on Erev Pesach. And like the Meir Shloich explains, the Masechta began with Orel Abba Osir, and if you remember, we had a Gemara to try to understand what Orel Abba Osir means, till we understood it means the night of Pesach, and then the Gemara asked, why say a language which is so ambiguous, and then we have to spend time trying to understand it, why don't you just say the night? So he said, because we wanted to speak Belosh Nekiah in a nice language. So the Masechta begins, says the Meir Shloich, to teach us how to speak. And not a Masechta, not a last parak of this Masechta teaches us how to eat. Erev Pesachim, on Erev Pesach, so Tosfos says that there's a machloikis, what is the right words to be used here. Our Girsa here in the Mishnah is Tosfos' Girsa, says Erev Pesachim. However, the Rashbam, Skir says Arvei Pesachim. Arvei Pesachim means in all of the Erev Pesachs every year. According to Girsa that has Erev Pesachim, it either means Erev, on Erev Pesach, when Pesachim, when many Karban Pesach are offered, as we spoke, so many Karban Pesachs were offered on Erev Pesach. Or Tosfos says another Pshat, Erev Pesachim means both Erev Pesach Rishon and Erev Pesach Sheni, Samach L'Mincha. So as the Rashbam explains, and we'll talk about it in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, the Jewish day has a Mincha Gedoila, which is 6.5 hours into the day, which if the day were exactly 12 hours, would be 12:30, and the Mincha of the day is from 6 to 6. 12:30 is the Mincha Gedoila. And then 3 hours later, again, if we have a perfectly even day, that's 3:30. Samach, as we will learn in the Gemara, means a half an hour before. Lo yoichol, Adam, a person is not allowed to eat. Why is he not allowed to eat? So Rashbam says, because we want him to eat the matzah at night, l'tayoven, with an appetite. So we want him to eat matzah at night with an appetite, stop eating on Erev Pesach. The other Rishonim learn, because if we're going to eat on Erev Pesach, then we'll be full Pesach by night, so the eating that we'll eat the matzah at night will be an achila gasa. An achila gasa, meaning an eating when you're not hungry, is not considered oichel, and you have to eat matzah. Achilas matzah. Rashbam, who says that because you just should be hungry, says because it's a hidda mitzvah. What does a hidda mitzvah mean? That it's the right way to do a mitzvah when you are hungry. So first of all, the Mefarshim point out, from here we see hidda mitzvah is not only something that's visible. We're used to explaining hidda mitzvah, a sefer Torah, no, a nice sefer Torah, tefillin, no, a nice tefillin. Here we see, nobody knows if you're hungry or not, but still a hidda mitzvah to eat the matzah when you have an appetite. Asks the Me'adim Vizmanim, perhaps we could say the other way. Maybe it's a hidden mitzvah that you should eat the matzah when you're not hungry. You should eat the matzah when you're not hungry, and even though you're not hungry, you're forcing yourself to be mekayim the mitzvah. Why is it a hidden mitzvah to eat it when you're hungry? In fact, the Mefarshim point out there's a very interesting dichotomy. By matzah we're saying you're supposed to eat it when you're hungry. By yoichel, not supposed to eat. Pesach, we learned and we'll learn you have to eat ala saiva when you're full. Why? So they say the matzah is, it's not such a geshmak of food, it's, what is it, a cracker. So there, if you eat it when you're hungry, you show that you're eating it for the mitzvah. On the other hand, Karman Pesach, you're getting a good piece of meat, you're getting a steak. So there, if you eat it when you're hungry, there it doesn't seem that you're doing it for a mitzvah. If you eat it al saiva, it shows that you're doing it for a mitzvah. But Avi Nezer points out that hid the mitzvah, the pshat in hid the mitzvah is to show a chavivis to the mitzvah. Show that you love the mitzvah. Show that it's something that's important to you. How do you show you it's something important to you? I held myself back. I didn't eat the matzah because I was waiting till the seder when it's a mitzvah to eat it. So Taisus asks, exactly what are you not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach? That the Mishnah tells us you're not allowed to eat. He explains as follows. He says, to say that you're not allowed to eat chametz, we already learned at the beginning of the Masechta that you're not allowed to eat chametz from the fifth hour or fourth hour in the day. So it can't be it's not talking about chametz. To say that it's talking about fruits and vegetables, says Taisus, we're going to learn in this parak, that you're allowed to eat fruits and vegetables. To say that you're not allowed to eat matzah, he says, yeah, anyway, not allowed to eat matzah. Because he quotes a Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat matzah. The Yerushalmi says somebody eats matzah on Erev Pesach is ke'ilu bol arusasa beis chametz. It's as if he had relations with his kala before they were married. So what aren't you allowed to eat that the Mishnah is teaching us? So the Rambam says it's talking about fruits and vegetables. And although the Gemara tells us that we're allowed to eat fruits and vegetables, it means you're allowed to eat a little fruits and vegetables. The Mishnah is telling us don't eat a lot. That's how the Rambam learns. Taisus says that the Mishnah is talking about matzah shira. The matzah shira we don't eat on Pesach, but the Mishnah is teaching us some chlamintchu are not allowed to eat matzah shira. So first of all, why are you not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach? So there are many reasons given by the Rishonim. Some say that we want you to eat the matzah with a geshmak on Erev Pesach, on Pesach by night, so don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Others say that there should be a hecker. It should show that we're not eating matzah on Erev Pesach, we're waiting for the night. Others say, because the pasuk says, be'erev toichlu matzahs, at night, not by day. Others say that just like the common Pesach, you only eat at night, not by day, so too matzah should only be eaten by night, not by day. Interesting shaila, when does this din of not eating matzah begin? So there are dais that say that it begins already from the night of Erev Pesach, because that's when Erev Pesach begins. There's a famous verse from Chaim Brisker that says that that's not true. He says, if the halacha is that you're already not allowed to eat matzah on Pesach by night, what do we say in the Manishtana? Shekabalayles ana oichlim chametz u'matzah. All nights of the year we're allowed to eat chametz and matzah. But if you're already not allowed to eat matzah the night before, it's not true. It's not shekabalayles ana oichlim chametz u'matzah. That night you're only allowed to eat chametz. So that's why most Pesachim say that the Isser begins Erev Pesach in the morning. Although there are Menhagim that don't eat matzah from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, there are other people that don't eat matzah already from Purim, but the Pesachim will say that that's just a minig, and that's not a very minig that you always have to follow. For example, they say, let's say you don't have Lechem Mishnah, you don't eat matzah from Rosh Chodesh, and you don't have Lechem Mishnah, you only have a matzah, you're certainly allowed to take it. And they say, great proof. People, a lot of people make Erev Chatzeres from one Erev Pesach to the next Erev Pesach. What do they take? A matzah. Now, the Erev Chatzeres by definition has to be something you're allowed to eat. If you're not allowed to eat matzah, so how could the Erev Chatzeres work for those Shabbosim from when you're not allowed to eat matzah? So it's a proof, it's a minig, but it's not the end of the world. But
what about when Shabbos comes out?
Oh, so now the question is, when Shabbos comes out in Erev Pesach, so the question always what to do with Shalosh Shudas. So actually the Gross says on such a Shabbos, you don't have to eat Shalosh Shudas in the afternoon. You can eat fruits or vegetables, or you don't have to eat. Mr. Brewer says what to do is to take the Sud in the morning and divide it into two. But Daruch HaShulchan says you can eat Matzah Ashira. Why? He says that the Issa to eat Matzah Ashira is only like Amish that says Samuch L'mincha. Before that you're allowed to eat Matzah Ashira. There are Paiskim that wanted to come up, Rav Zolti came up with an idea. He says, you know what matzah you should be able to eat on such an Erev Shabbos? You should be able to eat matzah that was not made L'shem Mitzvah's matzah. Because what are you not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach? What matzahs are Yerushalmi referred to? A matzah that you're going to could use on Pesach. But this matzah you're not going to make the mitzvah with. Now really the truth is it depends on what the reason you're not allowed to eat matzah. If the reason you're not allowed to eat matzah is because it's a dinner of Erev Toichel matzahs at night, eat matzah. So this is not the matzah you're eating at night. But if the reason is that you should eat the matzah with appetite at night, this matzah and that matzah is the exact same. And that's why, although Rav Zolti said this Eitzah, and Rabbi Yosef said that in a year where Erev Pesach is Shabbos, you could rely on Rav Zolti, many Paiskim, including Rav Shlomo Zalman, Urbach, and the Minchas Yitzchak disagree. They say that you can't eat any matzah in Erev Pesach, even matzah that's not made L'shem Mitzvah's matzah. Regarding egg matzahs, matzah Ashira by Shalosh Shudas, which is eaten after the 10th or 11th hour, Noida B'Yehuda and Aruch HaShulchan say you can eat egg matzah. It's not considered matzah, and you're allowed to eat it, as long as it's not Samach L'mincha, as Tosfos says. The Shailah Meshev says, since the Ramah says that only sick or ill people should eat egg matzah, it means that egg matzah may be a question of chametz. And if we're saying that you're not allowed to eat chametz after Shor Revius or Shor Chamishas, you should not be allowed to eat egg matzah after that time either. Before we finish,
what about the Erev?
When Shabbos is Erev Pesach, how could you rely on a matzah for Erev?
According to those who say,
it's a good question. I don't know. One more question. The Yerushalmi uses a very interesting terminology. He says that ki'ilu boil arusasa beis chamav. It's as if you had relations with your kala. Well, you should have just said you're not allowed to eat matzah Erev Pesach. So he says, what happens when you marry a kala? You make sheva brachas. You make seven brachas under the chuppah. The matzah is eaten after seven brachas. Because first we make kiddush, which is the bracha on the kiddush. The bari pri agofen is the second bracha. Shechayonu is the third bracha. Then we make a bracha on the karpas, is the fourth bracha. Then we make a bracha on the second kais, is the fifth bracha. Then we make a moitzi, an al-chilas matzah, 6 and 7. Kilabal arisasa veis chamav is 7 brachas. Asher galonu and bari pri agofen is all the second kais. It's considered one. And the tilas yadayim. Good shayla. I don't know.
The original hagafen and kiddush is really one.
Right. You make one hagafen. What do you call it? So you make 7 brachas and then you have the matzah. Tosfos asks a question that we learned the Gemara in Daf Mem. The Gemara in Daf Mem said that a person by the Seder, B'tzeikah shel nachrim, can eat dough, which is not chametz, can eat it up until he gets to the last kazayas and eats matzah. So here we're learning, Tosfos says, that you're not allowed to eat matzah, Erev Pesach, And here it says that by the side you can eat as much as you want, as long as you leave room for one kazayis. So Tosfos differentiates between a meal during the day, where there we're concerned you're going to start eating and you'll get involved and you'll eat too much and won't have room at night, where during the Seder itself, you know you're supposed to eat mitzvah smatzah, you'll be careful to leave room for the last kazayis. The Rajpa says a different pshat, insight into the human diet. He says like this, a person Erev Pesach, he's eating, he's not thinking about the Seder. And he eats and eats. While you're eating, you don't realize you're full. Then after you're eating, you're full and you can't eat anymore at night. But by the Seder, the Gemara Masechta Sochem Daf Mem is the middle of the meal. While you're eating, you never feel full. So you always have room to eat another kazayas for matzah. And actually, Tosfos' psak is relevant for the following shaila. Let's say somebody is a bechor, an Erev Pesach he fasted, he didn't have a siyum. He comes to the Seder, he's hungry, he didn't eat all day. And now, till we get to Moitzi Matzah, it's quite late. Is he allowed to eat at the beginning of the Seder? So the Pesach will say, since it's already during the Seder, and Tosfos says, during the Seder, I'm already allowed to eat. I'm not worried if it's already during the Seder. So a person who fasted all day would be allowed to eat something, so he should be able to make it till he gets to Moitzi Matzah. So the halach is, he's not allowed to eat, Acha Techshach, until it gets dark. So Tosfos tells us, from here we see that we can't make Pesach, we can't start Pesach early. It has to be Acha Techshach. Why? So there's a beautiful explanation from Chaim Brisker. Shabbos, we know you can make Shabbos early. Why can't you make Pesach early? He says, when somebody makes Shabbos early, what is he doing? He's not making Friday into Saturday. You can't make Friday into Saturday. He's taking the Kedusha Shabbos, he's making it earlier. You could do that to Pesach also. You can make the Kedushas Pesach earlier. But there's a halacha that Pesach, matzah, moor, have to be eaten on Tezvav Nisan. You can't make your Dalet Nisan into Tezvav Nisan. So you have to wait till it's night to eat the matzah. What about Kiddush? So the Chassam Sofer, interestingly, says perhaps the Mishnah says, lo yoichli, you're not allowed to eat. But maybe Kiddush you can make early, as long as you be careful not to eat matzah, maror, until it's night. But the Trumas Hadeshin says that Kiddush also should not be made until it's night. And the Taz and Magen Avraham give two reasons. One reason is because Kiddush is one of the Dalakaisis. It's one of the Dalakaisis. And Dalakaisis have to be drunk at night. And another reason is that the Aloch is that Kiddush has to be B'makom Suda. If we're saying that the Suda is only allowed to be at night, so the Kiddush is also only allowed to be at night. Interestingly enough, the Taz also says that even people who make Shabbos early, and as we just learned, that's fine, should be careful that at least the Kazayas they should eat when it's already night. Because just like we said, you can't make Tezvav Nisan on Yudala Nisan, you can't make Friday into Shabbos. And it says Hayoim three times by Shabbos that you're supposed to eat three meals on the Shabbos day. So if you're going to make Shabbos early and you'll finish your whole meal before it's night, so you only had two meals, the 2 day meals on Shabbos, and you will not have three meals on Shabbos proper. So it says even if you make Shabbos early, eat at least one kazayas after dark. Continues the Mishnah, Afilu Anish of Yisrael. Even the poorest person in Klal Yisrael, La Yoichel at Sheyesev, is not supposed to eat until he sits down and eats Behaseba. We learned that Seba means to eat leaning. You should have a chair with a pillow or a couch. It's interesting, the Brisker Rav says in the Rashbam, Be'ar Pesachim at Sheyesev, K'derech Pnei Chorim B'mita V'al HaShulchan. That part of Haseba means that you're supposed to have a table in front of you. Of not, you have not been mekayim mitzvah saseva. Tosfos asks, what's the Mishnah teaching us? If there's a halacha that you're supposed to eat baseva, so everybody's supposed to eat baseva. So Tosfos says that since a poor person has a hard bench, what does he have already? So you would think, where's a saseva doable? When you have a couch, a nice armchair, there you could do a saseva. But if you're sitting on a hard bench, what's the point of that saseva? Teaches us the Mishnah, no matter what you're sitting on, what you have, do a saseva on it. Now Tosfos asks, what's the connection in the Mishnah? The Mishnah began that you're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach, And then all of a sudden jumps into Anish of Yisrael. So Tosfos says, since you're dealing with a poor person, and we would think that a poor person can't afford to have an illuminated room, perhaps he should eat an Erev Pesach when it's the light. Teaches us the Mishnah that even the poor person has to wait for night. Continues the Mishnah, for lo yifchus olay me'arba kaisis shal yayin v'afilu min ha-tamchui. Even a person who's eating min ha-tamchui, tamchui was the plate, tamchui means a plate, they used to have a plate for which they gave people to eat, the very poor people, even a very poor person who's living off tztaka is supposed to get dalek kaisis. What does this mean? So there's two pshatim. One pshat is that even a person who's living off tztokah and the tztokah is giving him food should give him also wine for dalet kaisis. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that let's say the person has enough food to eat, but he doesn't have money to buy wine. So should he take money from tztokah or should he say, I won't have dalet kaisis? Teaches us the Mishnah that I'm feeling in a tamchui, if it means that till now you were able to avoid living off tztaka, and now because you need the dalek kaisis, you're going to have to take tztaka. Take the tztaka. You have to drink dalek kaisis. So the mefarshim ask, we don't find by any mitzvah, even by mitzvah deraisa, that a person should have to take tztaka to do a mitzvah. Let's say somebody can't afford to buy an esrog. It doesn't say anywhere in halacha that a person should take tztaka, or we'll see in Shulchan Aruch halacha is that he should sell whatever he has or collect tztaka to do get an esrog. And here dal kaisis is a drabbanon. Why is it so important that we should even take money from tztaka? So Rav Nezer says, because since the dal kaisis represent presume nisa, as the Rashbam says, the dal kaisis are connected the dal l'shoina shalgula, that we're proclaiming the great nes that a Kodesh Baruch Hu did on our behalf. So their person should do whatever is needed to be part of this Persume Nisa. And that's why the same halacha is by Chanukah, which is also Mitzvah Drabbanon. The halacha is a person should do whatever is necessary to be able to light candles. Tosfos has a discussion here. What is the halacha by Dalet Kaisis? Is the halacha of Dalet Kaisis that one person should drink the Dalet Kaisis? And he says, perhaps that's the terminology of the Mishnah. Lo yifchusu loy. Don't one person, the person leading the Seder, has to dav dalek kaisis. Then Taisa says, no. Certainly every person by the table has to have his own cup of wine. So the Mefarshim ask, by matzah, we know, nobody would ever have a mina that I could be Mekayim mitzvah matzah, one person will eat matzah, that would be for everybody at the table. So why would dalek kaisis, why would drinking the dalek cups be different? So Chaim Briska explains Tosfos' Havamina. He says, perhaps the point of dalek kaisis is not the drinking of the wine. Perhaps the point of dalek kaisis is that to say a shira, to sing and praise God, and we sing and praise God on what? Al ayayin, on wine. So that's why, perhaps Tosfos says, as long as one person has a cup of wine and he's holding that cup and saying shira, and that some people have a minhag that they hold a cup of wine during the whole seder for that reason, because you're supposed to say shira alayayin. So one person holding the cup of wine and we're all saying that gada on that yayin should be enough. Teaches us Tosfos, and that's why the Mefarshim say very beautiful. Why did they pick four cups of wine? Why they could have said you should eat four matzahs. Why cups of wine? Because the point, part of the point of the dal kaisis is to say shira, and shira is always said alayayin. You don't say shira on bread. You don't say shira on a fruit. So perhaps you could be makayim it that way. That's why Tosfos says, maybe you would think so, but Tosfos says, and that's the halacha, every person has to have their own dal kaisis. I saw a very nice fart. All the svarim try to understand what's pshat dalet kaisis, four cups. So I saw one pshat that we had three avos, but we had four imahos. So a person should realize it's not just the avos, it's not just the schus avos that helped us get out of Mitzrayim and help us every day. It's also the schus imahos, our mothers, and we had four mothers. That's why you have to have four cups of wine. The Tver Shloima points out that the terminology of our Mishnah is somewhat strange. It should have, Mishnah should have said Yishta Arba Kaisis. What does the Mishnah say somehow in a backwards? La Yifchusulai. He shouldn't have less than four cups. So he says the lesson of our Mishnah is that La Yifchusulai. A person should realize that wherever, as he comes to the Seder, a person has to realize, and that's one of the main points of the Seder, is Amunah. La Yifchusulai. Whatever I have is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. La Yifchusulai. I don't have anything less. I don't have anything more. Only what Hashem gave me. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ir Yarvi Psachim, why did our Mishnah choose Erev Pesach? I feel Erev Shabbos is V'yam Tovim Nami. Every Erev Shabbos and Yontiv is the same halacha. The Tanya, it says a brayso, La Yochel Adam Barvi Shabbos is V'yam Tovim. A person not allowed to eat any Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontiv, min a mincha l'malo, from the mincha k'tanan on, k'day she'ikonis l'shabbos k'shutayva. So in order that when he comes into Shabbos, he should be hungry and eat the meal. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, Oichel v'hoylech at shetechshach. He could eat until Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, every Erev Shabbos has this din. What makes Erev Pesach special? Answers the Gemara, Amar Afuna lo tzricha el Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah has come to teach us, even according to Rabbi Yossi, that says, that you could eat at night, teaches us the Mishnah, that's an irregular Erev Shabbos and Yontif, that's the Haloch. Avol Erev Pesach, since Erev Pesach by night, we have a Chiv of Matzah, Maida Rabbi Yossi will agree that you can't eat Min HaMincha L'Malah. And the Rishadim explained, as we said earlier, because Erev Pesach and I, we have to eat the matzah, and we're not supposed to eat the matzah with an achila gasa. So to avoid eating achila gasa, we have to stop eating min hamincha l'malah. Rapapa says a different answer. I feel time Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah could go even according to Rabbi Yehuda. But then our question was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's nothing new about Erev Pesach. This is halacha that applies to every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yontif. Answers says Rav Papa, Hasam be'arvi shabbosus v'yom tovim on a regular erev Shabbos erev Yontif that loch is min amincha l'malu dasar. It's only from the mincha k'tanan on that he's not allowed to eat. Samach l'mincha. However, like we learned in the Mishnah, a half an hour before the mincha k'tana, shari, you are allowed to eat. Avo be'erev Pesach regarding erev Pesach, afilu samach l'mincha nami asar. Even a half an hour before the Mincha K'tana will be Asur. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what makes Erev Pesach different than every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif? That half an hour. So ask the Pnei Shloima, is that half an hour such a big deal? We're saying that Erev Pesach is a half an hour. Before, every other time, it's only by the Mincha K'tana. So what's the difference with that 30 minutes, with that half an hour? So Pnei Shloima explains as follows. It's not the half an hour specifically. What does the half an hour represent? The half an hour represents that if I start a half an hour before, I may get drawn in and continue the meal until the zman. On the other hand, when it says you're not allowed to eat from the mincha k'tana, it has nothing to do with getting caught up in a meal. It's an inyan that you're not supposed to eat because you should be hungry at night. So that's pshat. Erev Shabbos, we tell you when the mincha comes, don't eat. We want you to be hungry at night. And what will be if you didn't eat? You follow what the Yehuda says. You didn't eat, and you're not hungry at night. So you don't have to eat. Shabbos is a mitzvah of Oynik Shabbos, to enjoy your food. If you don't enjoy eating, you don't have to eat. Pesach is different. You can't say Pesach by night, I'm not hungry. So if I'm not hungry, I don't have to eat. There's a chiv deraisa to eat matzah. So therefore the din is, you're not allowed to start a meal because we want you to be able to eat the matzah. So the half an hour doesn't represent a time difference, it represents a conceptual difference. Here it's because we want you to be hungry, and here it's we want you to be able to eat the matzah, and it shouldn't be an achila gasa. And it shouldn't be an achila gasa.